So we know FSU hasn't had their best start. You know, that's not a secret that teams are beating them that, quite frankly, shouldn't be beating them.
This is the weekend where you take the crown off Florida State's head, you put it on yourselves.
Yes.
I don't want to cry, but I could here. But welcome back to Softball Speakeasy episode 6. Oh my gosh.
Wow.
We're sitting here in my apartment right now, actually. So if it doesn't look like Duke softball field, you know, I don't know I don't know what this could possibly look like, but it's my apartment. But if you're new here, my name is Rain Wilson. I'm a former Duke softball player turned analyst and broadcaster.
And I'm Kelly Torres, a current Duke softball player.
Softball Speakeasy is a podcast. I'll be giving you a behind the scenes look at Duke's 2024 campaign. We'll be following storylines throughout the college softball season, and we'll aim to give you next level access into what it's like to play college softball at the Division I level. So, Kelly, you said you're on spring break.
Yes.
How's life going? How's it going?
It's amazing. You know, when you're on spring break, it's like, oh, you can just do softball. Like, it's your job. And
yeah.
That's it. So, lovely. I'm able to come here, Rain's apartment,
right?
And actually do this podcast live and in person.
I know. Let's do a mic bump for that. Let us know if you all like the in-person or if you don't really care. Because if you like the in-person, we enjoy it. But if you don't care, sometimes it is easier to do
it
remotely.
Is.
So we'll play it by ear. We'll play it by ear because Kelly is still a full-time student. So we're going to go on her schedule. But speaking of being a full-time student athlete, let's talk about your week. So you all faced Elon in a midweek, won that game. Then you had South Dakota State for 2 on Friday. So just give me your overall thoughts on the weekend.
So Elon, we've played them before, but they always come out and play their best game against us.
Yeah.
So it's not someone you can take lightly. We put up some good numbers around them, and pitching did well, as always. South Dakota State, again, pitching awesome. Probably the highlight of the week is pitching. Jayla Wright, Cassidy Kerr, Lily getting innings. Like, they're all looking fire, in my opinion. South Dakota State is not a team they can sleep on as well. They beat Arkansas earlier this year. Their pitching was heavy. They had strong arms, a lot of movement. They had an rise ball pitcher who was a little bit quicker, and then a drop ball pitcher. So the both games, they like changed their eyesight.
Right.
So we had to kind of adjust. It was a double hitter. So like 30 minutes in between. Okay, how are we going to adjust to now attack a completely different view?
Yeah.
So it was a challenge, and I think we rose.
Yeah.
It was a good game to set us up for this week coming up.
Yeah, because it is a big week coming up. So I don't want to look past Liberty, but you all play Liberty in a midweek game. But the majority of the preparation this week will likely go towards Florida State.
Yes.
So what is the mindset going into that weekend?
So we know FSU hasn't had their best start. You know, that's not a secret that teams are beating them that, quite frankly, shouldn't be beating them. So we kind of want to go in of like this dog mentality, like jump from the start and kind of get them a little, like, you know, a little quiver going on in their pants. But FSU, don't play this in your locker room. I also think, you know, take the balls when you can. Don't overswing because their pitching isn't, you know, lights out like it used to be.
Right.
So if they're missing, you know, you have some control where you can hold your bat and not take yourself out of the at-bats because we're so eager to hit.
I want to actually put out in front of you some crazy numbers.
Okay.
There was once a team that's first 19 games, they went 13-6 and they lost three games to unranked opponents. Mm-hmm. That team went on to win the national championship in 2018. Florida State right now is 14-5 and lost 3 games to unranked opponents. So the same, like, pretty much the same as they were. I remember 2018 feeling like, oh, maybe they're having a down year. That was the year they turned it around, won the national championship, went and got really hot at the end. And so a lot of people are disappointed in how they've started. And I'm sure they are. I'm sure they are, like, more than anyone is disappointed in how they started. But I think you all know, like, that can change in an instant.
Yeah. FSU is not a team that we're going to, you know, oh, we can just relax. No, because FSU brings their game every single time they play. And, you know, we forget that softball is a game of failure.
Yeah.
That anyone can win. I mean, we're seeing it with Houston and Texas.
Right.
You don't need to be ranked to be a ranked team. So It could be also the film. Who knows why softball is growing so much and changing, especially in this year. It's really special. But it's anyone's game. Can't take anyone lightly.
And I know you all specifically won't take them lightly in recognition of your schedule, right? Like we talked about it last week about how you all really haven't played anyone in the top 15. I mean, of course, Nebraska was there. They're not ranked anymore. Long Beach State was around there. They're not ranked anymore. Of course, you open with Oklahoma. And it kind of reminded me of Clemson last year. I don't know if you were familiar with their record, but they were like 36-1. And then they hit the meat of their ACC schedule and they got swept by Florida State. They lost to Virginia Tech. So not to say that that would happen, but more so, how much pressure do you feel to be perfect in those games that are ranked, knowing that there's not few of them, but there aren't as many as some other teams?
Yeah. Well, a big thing about us this year is we're not playing the jersey.
Yeah.
So Duke softball, when they get onto the field, they're playing Duke softball. So whether it's FSU, whether it was South Dakota State, like same team is showing up. So I don't think, obviously,
do you feel that though? Like, I know that that's the mindset.
Yeah, it's different. It's different for me, I'd say.
Yeah.
Like, if we split the team in half, the younger girls are like, hell yeah, we're Duke softball, we're number three. Like, they feel that. But I feel like for me, I grew up with you. I grew up listening to you guys, knowing where Duke softball started. And I'm part of like this middle ground of like, oh, we used to be bad, but now we're good. It's like, how do I identify with it? You know, like, it's weird for me sometimes to be like, we are those people. We are Duke softball.
Right.
And it's hard for me to grasp. But yeah, how we're looking at ourselves is anyone that comes onto our field, we're playing and we're going to give them our best. And FSU is just going to feel all of us.
Yeah.
I'm excited for the series. I'm excited to sit down, whether it's on this couch or on Zoom, and see how this week goes.
Yeah. Yeah. Because either way, you'll learn something about you as a team. Because I think that mindset of like, we don't play the jersey. The game doesn't know.
Yeah.
The bases are the same. Like, all that is all well and dandy, but it's really hard to execute. And I think you do a good job. But I think you're right. We came from humble beginnings.
We did.
But it also wasn't all of a sudden all these great players came in and that's what changed everything. It was a incremental culture change, and hats off to Coach Young because she is like led the way in building this thing.
Well, hats off to you guys too, because I get so much joy when something happens and being able to text in the group chat and be like, look at where we're at, because it wouldn't be that way if it wasn't for you guys setting a standard, teaching us how to be a team and create this culture. So hats off to team 1, 2, 3, 4. All
five,
of them.
Six. Yeah, no. Well, I remember when we won the ACC championship in 2021, we sent a video to Team One and said, this is for you guys. Because there are so many moments of like stress and tears and trying to figure it out as a bunch of 18, 19-year-olds that we thought there's no way we're going to ever win. Or there's no way we're ever going to go to a tournament, NCAA tournament.
Look at
us
now.
Like, literally, I remember telling Peyton, if we go to an NCAA tournament, I will kiss the ground.
Oh,
I will be
gosh.
So happy. And now a top five team in the country.
World Series is the goal.
And anything less than that, I think, is a disappointment for you guys. Is that true?
Yeah, it is. I mean, I had a conversation, I think it was Cass, where we're talking about, you know, getting to OKC. That's the goal. And I'm like, no, because we're going to OKC. Like, we are going there. So I don't want our goal to be like, let's get there. Because once we're there, then what the heck are we going to do? Just like, okay, we're here.
Settle? Yeah, exactly.
Like, our goal is to win the OKC.
Yeah.
Win the whole damn thing. Be the first. I mean, if any team is to do it in Duke softball history since I've been on this team,
it's this one.
It's this one.
Yeah. Yeah, y'all have it all. But I do think that the adversity that could come is in a tough part of the year. And every year, for the most part, last year you'd have to remind me, but the ACCs, as you get deeper into it, we always have hit a rut of some sort. And adversity is good. And I'm not wishing that happens to you all, but you kind of want that adversity to hit before regionals, right? So I think this weekend's going to be super fun for you guys. I'm really excited to watch.
We haven't played in an environment like FSU
yet. And they're going to be loud.
Oh my gosh. They're always loud. I mean, K time. Imagine you have two strikes, you're up to bat. the entire place
yeah.
is doing like, oh, and screaming K-time at you.
Yeah. They're intense.
I think that's, if any factor is going to get to us, it might be the environment.
This weekend will say a lot about the future of the ACC too.
Yes.
Because the ACC is growing. It is. And I called the Georgia Tech versus NC State game today. NC State has looked good. Georgia Tech looked amazing this weekend. UNC, Louisville, Virginia Tech. You can go down the list. It's top to bottom. But I want to ask you, is this the weekend where you take the crown off Florida State's head? You put it on yourselves.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
But just to kind of give some updates to folks who maybe didn't watch much of softball this weekend, we're filming this on Sunday night, so things have probably changed since now. Mm-hmm. But Georgia Tech swept NC State. UNC mm-hmm. won the series over UVA. And then Virginia Tech was beating Louisville last time we checked, but we're not sure. But they won the series against Louisville, at least two of the three games. Mm-hmm. And I want to ask you, because you all had off of ACCs this weekend. Did you keep up with the other teams, or just kind of enjoyed your time off?
Enjoyed the time. It was a mixture. I was watching LSU play, actually, a little bit before, but I feel like ACC didn't really dive into it.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Everyone needs a break, and a break is always good. Yeah. And happy spring break to you.
Thank you.
But we want to move on to our newest segment.
Yeah.
And our favorite one as well.
I love it.
So Softballers Anonymous, thank you all so much for submitting your anonymous questions, because this week we got some questions, which we're really pumped mm-hmm. about. And the first one is, do you think it's abuse of a coach if he consistently wouldn't feed us before or after games at home, on the road, wouldn't give us per diem, which is money to eat, and would go to Publix and buy PB and one loaf of bread for 20 girls to split between games, peanut butter, PB. And if we lost on the road at a night game, he said he didn't plan for a loss, which means he didn't plan for dinner either, so he wouldn't get food, Getting fed was a matter of winning or not, and we couldn't leave the hotels, even if it was to walk to a gas station next door. He would monitor the lobby.
Wow.
What's your reaction to that?
Reaction is, well, I mean, you need to eat to perform. So the coach is, you know, kind of stabbing himself in the back.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
herself
yeah.
in the back.
They said he.
Yeah. But I mean, like, wow, I feel bad. I mean, I'd say you leave the team.
Yeah. I would leave the team. I would yeah. transfer. Well, also,
they also
like,
said Publix, so we know it's in Florida.
It could be. There's Publix like across the street right now.
Oh, really?
We're in Cary, North Carolina right now, everyone. But no, that my reaction to that is, you know, I hate to encourage like going to an AD or things like that. Mm-hmm. But in this case, like, that's what you should do. Like, go elevate this.
That's
because
not okay.
It's not okay. It's abusive. It's ego driven. Like, is like, get over yourself. If you're the coach who's doing this and you're watching this, get over yourself, because that is unbelievable. And, a shame. It's a shame. It's a shame that coaches treat people like that. It's a shame.
Awful.
It's awful. And I'm sorry for this person who's gone through that. Overall boo. Reaction, boo to that.
Yeah.
So this one's also interesting. Mm-hmm. My ex-coach has had new assistant coaches every single year for the last 5 years. They either quit or get fired. Do you think that says something about the head coach, that there's no stability and he never gets along with his assistant coaches? Mm-hmm.
I'd say it depends.
Yeah.
It depends, because so I have gone through a lot of assistants as well, but I think that is because of Duke isn't an SEC school. It's a private school. You know, it's not public. You're not getting paid the same.
Right.
So if it's a place where you're growing and they're moving on to something higher, like getting a head coaching job.
Yeah.
You know, if it's an area growth, then I don't see a problem with it. But I mean, if they're just switching out and nothing's changing, no one's really going anywhere, then I kind of look into it. Like, what's going on behind the scenes where my coach isn't getting along with all the other coaches?
Yeah. There's a lot of different mm-hmm. circumstances that would contribute to an assistant coach leaving. But for example, like a lot of coaches, they're moving all around to finally find their home, because every little job has a different environment, a different school, a different everything. So there's a lot of factors there. But I do think 5 coaches in 5 years is, I think that says crazy. Something about mm-hmm. stability and enjoyment of who they're working with. But
I mean, that also changes the culture.
Yes. Yes.
Changes how the team works, changes everything. So if you go through 5 years and you have a different culture every year, it's not the best.
Yeah. But people don't realize, like, the assistants are a lot of times, like, they're the offensive coach or the mm-hmm. defensive coach. Like, they are with you more. A lot of times the head coaches are managing the culture, managing recruiting, everything. Managing overall. Yeah. Like, they're managing. They're not coaching as much. It just depends on the program. Like, yeah. at JMU, my head coach was, like, the pitching coach and the manager. But my other coaches, like, I was with them 90% of the time. Mm-hmm. So changing that all the time can really affect your culture.
Yeah. There's 3 main components. There's hitting, pitching, defense. When one changes and one gets a new coach, that's 1/3 of the entire process right there. That's right. Changing. So it's a lot.
Well, that was our 2 Softballers Anonymous for the week. If you want to submit yours, and we beg that you do, share the tea with us, yes. you can head to our Instagram or our X bio or our Facebook bio. You'll find our link tree. Click on that link tree and you'll see a little tab that says Softballers Anonymous. Go ahead and click that and then write your tea down. It's all anonymously. If you want us to include who you are, please let us know that. We actually have a few more in the tank that we'll share next week. Mm-hmm. So thank you all for submitting those. Those are so much fun to read and talk about. Yeah. But moving on to listener questions. Yes. We got some more listener questions through our email and through a family member, actually. Yes. So we'll answer these listener questions. But we'll start with this one. I'd love to hear you and Kelly both talk about what you're literally seeing from the booth and from the field, your vantage point, and what you're supposed to be focused on. Mm-hmm. And for you, I guess she's talking to me, how has what you're focused on visually changed from player to announcer? We can only see what the camera shows us, but what are you seeing? What are you looking for? And what is each position supposed to be watching? Like, what the pitcher is supposed to be watching is so different than what an outfielder is supposed to be watching.
That's a
really good question. So it is completely different as an announcer. Could not be more different. What I'm looking at, and I'm sure every analyst is a little different, is there's a screen and I'm seeing exactly what the viewer is seeing. And so it's really interesting. So I'm looking at this screen. I almost never look up unless it's like a fly ball or ground ball. I'll watch the play. Like I'll see the pitch. And then if it is hit in the field or something, I'll oftentimes look, but I'm almost always looking at the screen because I want to reference what the viewer is seeing. So mm-hmm. I'm always looking for that. And then off of that, I'm always trying to look for things on the periphery that the camera won't pick up. For example,
add in a little context
or understand where they are at as a team. It's a little different for Duke because I went there and I know Coach Young, so I know the kind of vibe and how it kind of works. But for any team, really, like I'm looking at, for example, today, NC State versus Georgia Tech, in between innings, commercial break. I'm looking and I see Coach Leftwich, the head coach at NC State, pull her team in and have a meeting. That's the first time that happened. Mm-hmm. And so it speaks to, hey, that they're having this moment with their head coach. They need to fix the plan or whatever the case may be.
Whatever the game is.
Yeah. But most often I'm just looking at the screen and I'm charting the pitches. I'm charting what she's throwing, how she's trying to attack. And I have notes on all the pitchers, all the hitters, like tendencies. And, you know, whether they attack early in counts, whether they're comfortable late in counts, things like that. So that's what I'm looking for all the time. So, yeah.
Well, on a player side, luckily I'm a catcher and a hitter. Honestly, the best combo in my opinion. Biased. But I'm always looking at the left hip or if she's a lefty. The right hip. And if she's a lefty, the left hip. Because that's where the ball's always coming out of, you know, whether I'm catching or whether I'm hitting, that's just the little tunnel. I kind of like to think about it as tunnel vision.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So it's like, honestly, not even the hip. It's more of like this quad side area. Mm-hmm. And that's just where my focus is on all game. And if we are facing a pitcher that's like our pitchers,
yeah,
I'll like really pay attention to the spin on, you know, Cass's curveball, just mm-hmm. so I can get ready for my at bat. Maybe I shouldn't be doing this while I'm on defense, but just so I can get ready as a hitter. Like if I'm seeing a curveball spin constantly, I know how to pick that up and read it super, you know, super mm-hmm. fast. Mm-hmm. But an outfielder, I'd imagine, I'm not an outfielder, that you kind of read it off the bat. And so it's funny because you have so much room, but they're reading it at the same time as an infielder, and they're trying to make their reads as early and as best as they can. So I would be curious to like interview Deanna or yeah. Claire and see how, what they think.
Yeah. And I think for infielders, and I would say outfielders, I had a short stint in the outfield back in the day, but the coaches would always advise us, and I agree with this, is to cheat. Like based on what the pitch is, like what pitch is coming. Mm-hmm. For example, if Kelly were up to bat and I was playing defense and I was in right field and it was a curveball up and away, I'm going to back up a little bit, or like I'm going to scoot towards the line probably a little bit,
yeah.
whatever that case may be. But for infielders, you're always like your feet are trying to contact the ground mm-hmm. as the ball is in the area that it'll be hit at the contact point. So, yeah. But it just depends. I've never thought of the game that way. Like, mm-hmm. what are you looking for?
Yeah.
But there's all kinds of things.
Yeah, especially in situations when we do, you know, when there's a ball in the right center gap. I kind of need to know where my outfield's playing if there's a runner on. Right. You know, when I'm calling three, maybe two, maybe it's a fast runner, let's go four. So those are little things. It's kind of like you're a little quarterback or coach on the field. We're yeah. able to direct your defense. You know, like if there's a cut to four, my first baseman needs to cut across to be that cut.
Yeah.
So it's little things like that that you need to keep an eye on.
Yeah. And it's like there's so many little things that if you're new to the sport, you won't even think of thinking about this. But for example, like runners, if you're on second base, before the ball is hit, before the ball is pitched, you're looking at the outfield. Where is the left fielder playing? Where is the right fielder playing? Mm-hmm. And so you understand off the bat where that ball is going to likely land, and you can make an educated guess on whether you should go or not. Like there's all these other things. You're watching them warm up, because if the right fielder has a weak arm, you know you can run on
take
her.
Two.
Like all these things mm-hmm. that play into it. And announcing it, this is very similar. You're trying to find those little things that the viewer can't see or can't tell. Anyway, we could talk about this for hours. Can you tell? Moving on to our final listener question. This is an yes. emotional one.
Yeah, this is from Father Torres.
Father
and
Torres.
Mama Torres.
Shout out.
Shout out, being our number one fans. Maybe your parents are also number one fans. But
yeah. Well, they're both probably pretty
yeah.
high
well,
up there.
My dad was actually tearing up in last episode because I said, cherish the moments you still have that you can do soft toss with your dad.
Yes.
And I hit him because, I mean, I would love to get his perspective as a softball dad, and we talked about this, but not only is it my ending career, but as a softball parent, it's their career is ending too. They, you know how many games they've been to since I was 8 years old? Like this has been their life too.
For sure. And it is still my mother's life. And Mom, I know you're watching. So, and there's nothing wrong with that, because you invested your entire, like my entire life, 20 years.
You love it.
Into this thing. Mm-hmm. And so it's understandable. But the question from Mr. Yes. Torres is, what do you miss the most, me? And then what do you think, like, what will you miss the most?
Yeah. And they also added something to it. What do you wish you can go back and do differently?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So you want to set us off?
You know, when you texted me that this was like, we're going to do this, I thought about it for a long time. And I think most alumni have this answer, because it's true. You just miss your friends, yeah. you know? You just miss your friends. You miss hanging out with your friends. You miss competing. But apart from that, I didn't want to just lean on that as my answer. I miss that softball was like my way to like express myself. Mm-hmm. Like I could scream at the top of my lungs and like pound my chest and like run full speed and dive and all these things.
Goosebumps.
Yeah. Yeah. And I miss that way of living for me. And I don't want to cry, but I could here, but I had, and for folks who don't know me personally or don't know like my career at all, I had a knee injury that ended my career, and it was like a Tuesday night. It was March. It was
NCCU. I remember
a year
the game.
ago, or 3 years ago today. 3 years ago today. And
it was sad.
And yeah, and like before the game, we had our pregame talk, and I said, "Hey, yo, this could be my last game. Like, let's leave it all on the field." And all that to be said is like I had no closure with it all, and like I couldn't end it on my own terms. I didn't end it with my friends by my side on the field. I ended it like in sorrow, and so I miss that. I miss the opportunity to like, I'm so regretful of that. I know it, there's nothing I could do, but I'm just so regretful that it ended that way. And it's such a selfish thing to be regretful of that part, but I just wish I could have been hand in hand with my friends on Georgia's field and lose that game on the field. But I miss my friends. I miss working out. With
well,
everyone.
It's not selfish to want that. Yeah. Well, you know?
Yeah.
You deserve a goodbye.
Yeah. Yeah. And then another aspect of that too, and this is gonna all therapy session here, but like I love announcing, and I love this new role. And I've shared this with you off camera, obviously, but it's really hard to be surrounded by this thing, and like I'm even further in it now than I was. Like mm-hmm. when I was playing, I didn't really watch.
Now you study it.
Now I study it. Now I'm like into it. And it's really hard to be so close to this thing that you know you never, like, got proper closure with, you know? Yeah.
But well, hopefully you can live it through me.
Yeah.
Maybe we can go through this journey together.
Oh, yeah.
Mic bump. I'll take you. I'll be playing for you right now.
Okay. Thanks, brother. Thanks, brother. Play for yourself. Play for your family.
Yeah,
but, yeah.
I can play for all.
Yeah. Play for everybody. But, yeah, that's the things I miss the most. Wow. But I have no regrets on, like...
Anything you'd go back and change?
I mean, I wouldn't have grounded out and torn my ACL. That probably would be number one. But no, but like I would have, I mean, I literally gave everything I had.
You did.
I gave everything I had.
You were such a leader.
Oh, thanks, Kelly. That's so sweet. But what do you miss? Or what you don't miss anything yet. Yeah, what will you miss?
Answer's probably the same thing.
Yeah.
I'd say it's similar, more of like identity. Like I identify as an athlete. I love going to the gym and moving absurd amount of weight for my size, you know, mm-hmm. and like being the strongest girls on campus. You know, I'm going to miss just being an athlete and identifying as it. And, you know, I feel like it's going to hit me post graduation and I'm at a gym and I'm going to want to lift, but like for what? Why am I training this hard? You know, I don't know where life's going to take me, but I think it's going to be difficult not having like a physical practice of a sport every single day where you hone in on skill. Mm-hmm. Like I was talking to my mom the other day, and I'm going to have crazy eye hand coordination for no reason. Mm-hmm. Like I was at this little get together earlier last year, fall semester, and a champagne bottle was falling off the table, and I just like, ooh, and caught it like right before. And everyone's like, whoa. And it just hit me like, I'm going to have these skills, and it's not for no reason, but where am I going to use them at? You know, I'm not going to hit a ball or catch a 70-mile-an-hour fastball again. So I think that's what I'm going to miss most.
Yeah. And I gave you some advice in your transition. And first of all, enjoy this. So don't even think about that. But it's important to mentally prepare yourself. And I would love if like all the other alums out there could weigh in on this, like comment or text us, like how you would
transition. We can do
transition.
Little videos. Maybe we can do like a little.
Yeah. But, give yourself grace because it's going to be really hard at times, and it might not come immediately. For me, I literally left Georgia. We all went back and immediately went to do my travel guiding job. I went to Hawaii that next week. And so I had no time to think about it. Yeah. And I loved life. I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. I don't miss softball at all, because we didn't answer this, but there's plenty of things I do not miss about playing college softball. Plenty. But the good outweigh the bad for sure. But I don't want to romanticize my experience, because it was traumatic at
times.
It's hard.
It's challenging.
And emotional and depressing. There's all the things, right?
But that's what makes it so pure. Like at the end, when you get there.
Given everything.
You get the degree. You graduate. It's like, because it was hard. Like that makes the end so precious.
For sure.
Because of the struggle.
For sure. And with that end, if it's so abrupt, like it's imagine it's hard. But I went right into this thing. And then a few months later, I stopped that thing to, you know, have an off season. And I was like, oh my God, I had to confront all of it at
once.
Because I was in Hawaii, I was 6 hours time zone different. I couldn't even follow softball if I wanted to. Okay. And so I think just if, you know, if you have the opportunity to play after college, do that. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Hit Kelly up. One of the best batters in the ACC in the country and best catcher in the country, in my opinion. But, but no, it's like, it allow yourself that grace, lean on your friends, because I think as alumni, like, we all like to act like, oh, life is perfect, we're all doing great. No, I don't miss it at all. I'm so much happier now. And it's okay if that's true, but it's also okay if it's not true. Like, if you're struggling, because the athlete identity thing, you're spot on. You're spot on, because you've been an athlete your whole life. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden you walk around and no one gives a crap that you played softball.
I know. I've been following like Ironmans. Like, I'm like, is this what I'm going to like have to go to, you know, train for an Ironman? I'm going to take it out of mind. Like you said, I don't want to think about it, but I know that's what's coming ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's coming fast. But let's do one light question.
Lighten up the
little lighter.
Yeah.
Just to end in the episode. Okay. And that is, you know, what's a couple of things you're not going to miss?
Oh, run test. And number one, you know what? I was thinking the other day, if I come back for an alumni weekend, we should just see where we're at in the run test.
See, you're like, that's a young alumni thought. That's a young alumni thought. There's absolutely no way.
Yeah. Run test number one. I would say morning lifts, but I love it now. Like, I enjoy waking up early and starting off the day with like a heavy lift. So I don't think I'm going to miss that. I don't know yet.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Run test for sure. I know that. Back of my hand.
Well, that is all we got for episode 6. Thank you all so much for watching, listening, viewing, and subscribing. Please let us know how you liked this. Did you like us being in person? Did you not care? You can let us know on our Instagram or our X after you follow us at SB Speakeasy on all platforms. And then if you're feeling extra kind, please rate us 5 stars wherever you get your podcast. That means the absolute world to us. We're loving this journey with you all, and we hope you all are loving it too. And please let us know what you want to hear, what you want to talk about, and we will do it.
And drop some stories in the Softball Anonymous.
Softballers Anonymous, drop them stories, follow us, do all the things.
Do it all.
But thank you so much for tuning in. It means the world. And we'll see you next week on the show.
Peace.